Centuries ago, long before the executive salary, the two-car garage, the diamond ring, and the retirement fund, women had to resort to more direct ways to get ahead. They achieved wealth and social status through talent, hard work, and sex, and they were proud of it. Courtesans have populated the worlds of art, politics, and power throughout history, becoming celebrated and powerful in their own right. Now a new book gives them their due. Susan Griffin has written The Book of the Courtesans, a catalog of their virtues. She joins us from San Francisco. Welcome, Susan Griffin.
Thank you.
Technically, let's get this out right at the beginning. How is a courtesan any different from a prostitute?
Many ways. For one thing, she makes a hell of a lot more money, and she doesn't make it quid pro quo. I mean, a courtesan would be given a luxurious apartment, a very fine coach, the equivalent of the modern-day Jaguar with thoroughbred horses to draw it, fabulous jewels, or maybe one of her lovers or benefactors would pay for her to have, say, the best pastry chef in Paris, as Cora Pearl did during the Second Empire, or pay for, you know, a whole staff to wait on her. So generally, maybe sometimes she was given a monthly stipend, but she wasn't paid, you know, say, a couple hundred dollars for a night or for a couple of hours. It didn't work that way. Also, courtesans were celebrities. They were written about all through the 19th century in the journals. They were painted all the way from ancient Greece through the Renaissance and modern painting by the famous painters of the day. You find images of courtesans from Tintoretto, Titian, and of course Manet and Lautrec, we know, and, you know, the moderns. They were the equivalent in European history of today's Hollywood stars.
But to get to that point, they had to rise through the ranks somehow. It wasn't just like, oh, you're a beautiful gal, I'm a rich duke, I'm going to pluck you off the street and, you know, bingo, make you rich and powerful, make you my courtesan, make you my mistress. They had to start out as regular prostitutes, no?
Not all of them did, but very many of them did, surprisingly often. For instance, Madame du Barry, who was a favorite of Louis XV, meaning, you know, she was his private courtesan, did start as a prostitute. She was a prostitute, however, to aristocrats. And in order for one of those young women to become a courtesan, generally, since most often, but not in every case, she was born working class, she had to learn all the things that Henry Higgins taught Eliza in My Fair Lady, how to speak with a correct accent, how to curtsy, how to do her hair, how to walk into a room, correct grammar, how to read and write, to have what we call cultivation, to have all the cultural references that indicate that somebody's been educated. All of this had to be taught to her, and a number of the courtesans were taught by the men that they met.
So the courtesans, if they were going to actually rise through the ranks, they had to become learned. They had to be able to, as you say, converse well with people who were scholars. I mean, many of these women became writers and became famous for their erudition as well as for their beauty.
Yes, I mean, Veronica Franco, who was a 16th century courtesan, the most famous courtesan of Renaissance Venice, which was kind of an epicenter of courtesanry and famous all over Europe for its courtesans, she became quite a well-known poet, and her poetry has been translated. Today it's available in English. It's gorgeous stuff. She brags in the poetry about her sexual prowess, often using the metaphor of light for sexual power and sexual pleasure. And, you know, because she became a courtesan, she was allowed to attend these literary salons, and it was there that she really learned to be a poet.
Susan Griffin, we tend to think of courtesans as, of course, being beautiful. But in fact, you write in your book that was by no means the only qualification. And in fact, you organize your books around these seven virtues that you've chosen. Timing, beauty, cheek, brilliance, gaiety, grace, and charm. We obviously do not have time to go into all of them, but just briefly tell us why beauty alone was not enough.
I think that the art of seduction itself involves a lot more than that. And courtesanry was born in a period when a lot of marriages were made for convenience. So many of the men were also missing something in their lives. I mean, they were married to somebody whom their family had arranged for them to marry because of aristocratic ties, trying to build more power and more wealth into the family, or entrepreneurial ties. And they were bored. The courtesans could speak about things that wives were not allowed to speak about. They could speak about sex openly, money openly, politics, and they were sophisticated in all these realms. Also, I think you know, sexual attraction just does have to do with a lot more than simple beauty. Even beauty itself involves an artfulness. There's a lot of knowledge in that. And that knowledge has been trivialized. You know, it's often, women are often raked over the coals for devising beauty. I mean, Alexander Pope in his famous poem, Rape of the Lock, sort of, you know, puts women down for devising and creating beauty. But on the other hand, beauty is talked about as if it's something that's just given by nature. But it isn't. It's created.
Susan Griffin, what do you think the legacy of courtesans is for modern women?
I think one of the legacies that they did leave us was this pride in those accomplishments and cheekiness. All the virtues, I feel, are what they left us, and they got preserved by the Hollywood stars, so that it was as if there was a kind of aura around the courtesans. And one of the things that I hint at in the book, in fact, imply, is that the tradition began in ancient Greece out of a religious impulse. Many of the heterae, who were courtesans, were also priestesses of Aphrodite, and that was a religion that put Eros and spirit together. And you can get that feeling around Hollywood stars. We call them icons. People worship them. And there's a quality there that embraces life and embraces sexuality and looks at its deeper meanings and all the different facets of it. And so I feel that's part of the legacy, too, that sort of knowledge, if you will, the carnal knowledge that have been passed down through women.
Susan Griffin. Her new book is called The Book of the Courtesans. She joined us from San Francisco. Thank you, Susan Griffin.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.